Life is all about relationships, whether at work, at school, at home, family, friends, colleagues, relatives, husbands, daughters, sons, wives, uncles, grandparents, people we bump into. It's all about relationships. And it's relationships that make us or break us at the most profound level. Because relationships are both powerful and precious. Christians insist that the only way we can talk properly about God and relate to God properly is in terms of understanding a relationship with Him. We talk about having a relationship, a personal relationship with God. Sometimes we talk glibly or casually about enjoying a personal relationship with God. Well, I do hope you enjoy that relationship, but it's never something to be taken casually or carelessly, not to be undervalued or underestimated. It is the profoundest thing that there is, that relationship. Well, over the last few weeks, we've listened to Jesus' last words to his discipleship, and the issue of a relationship with God has never been far away from what Jesus has to say. And that passage of scripture that Young read for us earlier speaks of relationship. It reminded us that as disciples, we relate to God the Father. The Father loves us. We love Jesus. We believe in Jesus. And these are the words of relationship. In John 16 and verse 33, we heard that true peace comes from relationship. Relationship with Jesus and the Father. And when the Spirit comes, what he does is he nurtures this relationship with Jesus and God the Father. That's the Spirit's great concern, to bring to life that relationship. This means that for a Christian, life is always about who you know, not what you know. It's about who you know, not what you know. Now, Christian life and faith is never about learning more stuff. And for stuff, understand it as it could be Bible verses, theology degrees, songs or hymns, depending on your background, temperament, and skills. No, it's never about learning more stuff. It is always about going deeper in relationship. Relationship with one another and with God. The first thing that we need to be aware of as we think about these relationships is that God exists as relationship. That's who and what God is. If you read through John chapter 15 through 17, as we're doing at the moment, you cannot ignore the Trinity, that particular technical term. We have God the Father. We have God the Son, and we have, remember that word from last week, the Paraclete, not the parakeet, the Paraclete, that special word for God the Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside to help. Relationship is woven into the very fabric of God's existence and being. He doesn't just have relationships. He is relationship. And over the years, Christians have tried different kinds of diagrams to express that. There's one there that the Father, God is Father, is Son, and is Spirit. And the line between Father, Spirit, and Son, around the circle, around the edges, says, is not. So it's clear that God is the three persons, but you mustn't get each person mixed up with the other. I'm sure that makes it really clear. And other people have tried, well, there's a shape of the clover leaf, those concentric circles meeting together, or that design that is somehow three in one. It's one piece, but expressed in three forms. But we cannot avoid the Trinity, because that relationship, that eternal relationship of love, from before the very beginning to after the very end, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the fundamental thing in the universe. A relationship of ongoing love between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit sustains our very existence. Without it, we would not be here. He exists as a community of perfect love, the eternal relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit. Now, some people find the idea of the Trinity hard to understand. Some people, everybody. Everybody finds the idea of Trinity hard to understand. But I love it. Not just because I'm awkward, but because it brings us to the very heart of our relationship with God. It wasn't the case that some people sat down many, many years ago in the first century, the first Christians, they sat down and thought to themselves, let's make it really difficult for people to understand what God is like. We could say that he's three in one, and one in three, and one yet three, and see how they get on with that. No, that's not what happened. The Trinity has arisen because people are trying to make sense of the teaching and experience of Jesus and our own experience of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's only this sense of a Trinity, of that eternal relationship, that makes sense to it. Makes sense to us. We relate to God the Father because of the work of God the Son at the cross and resurrection and ascension. And it's all made real in our lives by God the Holy Spirit. So you can't actually kind of squeeze one without the others. The Trinity is not kind of obscure theology, but it is daily experience, or at least it is intended to be. It really is a case of not what you know, but who you know. And we know God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Christians say a proper understanding of God, a real relationship with God, cannot mean anything less. So given that our relationship is a relationship with a relational God, how can we go deeper with that relationship? Well, we need to remember that at times it will be a puzzling relationship. That's the tone of the whole passage that Young read for us earlier. It's a passage about puzzled disciples. In verse 17 and 18, the disciples say, what does he mean by saying this? What does he mean? We don't understand. And just to emphasize the confusion, Jesus picks it up in verse 19. Are you asking one another what I meant when I said? So he's quite clear, it's about confusion. And the disciples don't have an idea what's going on. Further on in verse 29, where Jesus' disciples say, oh, now we understand. They claim to understand what's going on, but of course they don't. So you get the irony of Jesus' reply. You believe at last, do you? I think that's meant to be sarcastic, if that's the right word. Oh, you finally believe, do you? You know what's going on? Well, that's going to last all of 5 minutes until they come to arrest me and take me away, and you'll be more confused than ever. It's a puzzling passage. And that's because the reality is that all relationships sometimes puzzle us. At least any relationship that is alive and growing. It's not something that's kind of easy and straightforward and we know what's going on. Things happen that we just don't fully understand. Let me give you an example. It's a dangerous one. It's an example of my wife and I, so it's got to be very careful here. Pat and I have been married for just over 28 years. You wouldn't think she's old enough looking at her to be married that long. So for 28 years of marriage, so of course, I know exactly how she'll behave in every situation. I always choose the perfect Christmas and birthday gift for her, and I anticipate her every need and wish. Yeah, right. Well, 28 years of marriage on, she still baffles me sometimes. Only sometimes. Yes, only sometimes. Sometimes I'm there and I wonder to myself, why on earth are you doing that? And if I am wise, I do not utter that thought out loud. All relationships that are worth calling personal relationships will puzzle us if they are alive and growing. There'll be things that we do not expect, things that we could not have predicted. Growing in a relationship is not like solving a puzzle or passing an exam. There always remain things that we could never have guessed or worked out or known. The truth is that all relationships, and I'd include a relationship with God in this, All relationships are messy and untidy, not perfect and tidy. There's a book I came across, and I really love the title of this book. I'm not recommending the book itself, but I am recommending the title. And the title is Relationships, A Mess Worth Making. It's a great title, because that is how relationships are. They're messy. They're untidy. But there is no alternative. Relationships are life. We cannot live without them, and it's a mess worth making. And that's true even in our relationship with God. Our relationship with Him will never be cut and dried, as we say in English, never perfectly worked out, never every question answered. We will never arrive. We remain disciples all the days of our lives. The word disciple means learner. We never graduate from the school of discipleship. We are always learners. In England, when you learn to drive, you put red L plates on your car and they let you loose on the street. It's very scary. But I remember the day that I went and I threw my L plates away because I'd passed the test. It took me four goes. Oh. You never get rid of your L plates in discipleship or in relationship with God. We are always learning and growing and going deeper. That is the way that any living relationship works. It is the way the living and growing relationship with God works. Now, from today's scripture that was read, we need to be aware that now we live in the age of the Spirit. We live in the age that Jesus was promising after, of course, the cross and resurrection. These first disciples were before the cross and resurrection, and they had their particular puzzles to deal with going through that. But it doesn't remove the fact that we still have a relationship with God that will be complicated, puzzling, and growing, because that's how relationships are. The shadow of the cross hangs over these first disciples, but even after the cross, resurrection, and Pentecost, we will be in that growing and sometimes struggling relationship with God, because every relationship we share will involve pain and suffering. They're usually painful as well as confusing. It's a sad reality. Virtually every relationship that we share will involve pain and suffering. No, not virtually. Every significant relationship that we have will include elements of challenge, of pain, and suffering. Here in John 16, the disciples have the unique challenges of the cross and suffering of our Lord. We face our own. They do not go away. Everyone who enjoys a relationship with God, well, we have to deal with the reality that this relationship, like every other, at times will be painful. We will bear something of God's pain for His world. Something of the strain and tension of disciple, of no longer being what we were, but not yet what we shall be. So we live with that tension. And that can be a painful thing. There will be times when it feels like darkness. There'll be times when we're just hanging on in there because we're holding on to the promise of peace for the moment and the promise of joy to come. There are times in every human's life like that. That's how it is for everyone. And anyone who said it's different has either said either led a wonderfully sheltered life or is lying. We don't have to fake it. All relationships that are real will have times of darkness, challenge, and pain. William Temple was an Archbishop of Canterbury in England from many years ago, and he wrote a book entitled Readings in St. John's Gospel. It is a very old book, but it is a very insightful book. And I'm going to read what he has to say about John chapter 16 and verse 22. The Christian joy and hope do not arise from ignoring the evil in the world, but from facing it at its worst. The light that shines forever breaks out of the deepest pit of gloom. Let me just read that again. The Christian joy and hope do not arise from ignoring the evil in the world, but from facing it at its worst. The light that shines forever in the church breaks out of the darkest pit of gloom. In verse 21, we have the picture of childbirth as an image of what's going on here. It's a painful process. But the mother cannot regret the pain that comes with the birth of the baby because it is such a source of joy. I've watched both my children being born. That must make me something of an expert on the subject, I would say. I'm aware that it's much harder for us dads rather than for mums at that time. We have the tough job of watching what's going on, which is a much more painful experience. I joke at that point, trying to gain forgiveness from my wife. I joke at that point. But seriously though, when your child is born, it's an instant when you feel the world has been turned upside down. That the world has simply been turned upside down because it has. Life will never be the same again. And this is what's going to happen to these first disciples. Because of what's going on, soon in Gethsemane, then the cross, then the resurrection, then the ascension, then Pentecost, life will be turned upside down. It will never be the same again. If we claim to have a relationship with God, this always happens. If we relate to God, if we meet God, we can never be unchanged by that meeting. When we talk about encountering God, meeting God, having a relationship with God, we must be being changed by that relationship if it is a genuine relationship. Growing our relationship with God always involves us being changed, at times dynamited, exploded from within. That's a biblical word for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. To be dynamited from within, to be changed. Growing in relationship with God will always involve us becoming the person God intends us to be, and that is sometimes a very painful process. C.S. Lewis talked in one of his books about how when he became a Christian, he thought God was just going to tidy the house up. He thought he's maybe going to clean this room up over here and maybe paint this room here. Instead, God had plans for a mansion. And the house was going to have its walls knocked down and enlarged. And it was a really much more painful process than he had imagined. That is what God does. Ultimately, life is about relationships. It's not about what you know, it's about who you know. Relationships, they confuse us, they cause us grief and pain, but ultimately give us the only blessings that are worth having. What our life is worth will be defined by the quality of our relationships. And that's how our relationship with God works too. Today's a good day to take stock of your relationship with God and with others. Is it a good time? A hard time? In what ways have you grown with God in the last 6 months compared to 6 months ago? What are the areas of maybe painful change that God is committed to in our lives? What are those points where we'd really rather he wasn't doing what he's doing? Are we prepared to embrace those things that perhaps puzzle us or confuse us as a way of growing in that relationship with God? That we won't panic, but we'll trust him as we know what he's doing. Just as we sit, a moment's prayer. So just in the quiet, as we hear the sounds of life perhaps going on outside and around us, we just still our hearts and minds. And we remind ourselves of the extraordinary privilege of what it is to be in relationship with others and with God. And perhaps we give over to him those times where we've been hurt or disappointed, and we look to have him renew our hope, our vision, our joy in our relationship with others and with him. May this be a day when we appreciate what it means to know him and love him and be changed by him. Holy God, faithful and unchanging, enlarge our minds with the knowledge of your truth. draw us more deeply into the mystery of your love, that we may truly worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.